Praise the Lord for that. Hey, man, I like that. I might make them come and sing that again. Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. We'll share a message entitled Overcoming Ignorance of Acts chapter 17. Remember, Vacation Bible School is on July 12th through 16th. You can start getting signed up if you'd like to help out with that. And also mark on your calendars October 1st and 2nd. That is our couples retreat for our church. And we'll be having more information coming out in the next week or so and prices and all those types of things. But the price this year will be also include a dinner cruise on the River Lady on Towns River. And so that'll be an exciting time to be able to enjoy some time together as a husband and wife. And men, don't be cheap. Plan on paying for it, amen, and get ready to take your wives out on a nice time. All right, overcoming ignorance, Acts chapter 17 and verse 22. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you're too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men, for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel of after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also if of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's devices. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. Wherefore he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. Others said, we will hear thee again on this matter. So Paul departed from among them, howbeit certain men clave unto him and believed, among which was Diocletus and Areopagite, whatever it is there, amen, and a woman named Demarius and others with them. Verse 30 is our text verse. It tells us this, and the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this time that we can study the word of God together. We want to thank you for a great day that we've had in church. It was this morning and the two services and children's church and breakfast and all these things that went on. We're just thankful, Lord, for the sweet fellowship that we can have together with each other and with our God. And we're thankful to be here tonight to study the word. Help us to be refreshed in our faith. Help us to maybe gain some understanding that will enable us to convince the gainsayers of things of mockery against the word of God and against the God of heaven. Lord, help us to be like the Apostle Paul, to be ready to give an answer of the hope that lieth within us. And Lord, help us to be able to systematically study the word tonight. I would pray if there's anyone watching live stream or anyone here in the building that's never been saved, I pray, Holy Spirit of God, that you would touch their hearts and you would draw them to faith, a spirit of repentance to be upon them, that they might receive Christ as their Savior. And so bless the preaching, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. So verse 30 tells us this, "And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent," overcoming ignorance. When you think of ignorance, the definition of the word ignorance, it is simply lacking knowledge or awareness in general. And you don't understand something, you can't comprehend something, you have no idea how to explain what it is, you're in a state of ignorance. It carries with it also the idea of uninformed. I'll tell you, my reading is really getting messed up here as I get my trifocals in. Uninformed about or unaware of a specific subject or fact. And so the problem with Paul, he's standing here on Mars Hill against the men in Athens, and they were ignorant of who God is. They were ignorant because they were uninformed about God. They certainly were unaware of the specific attributes and character traits of God. And certainly they had gained no opportunity to gather facts about God. And so Paul is standing before them and seizing the opportunity to give them information about the true and living God. Notice Paul, as he's facing them, he's facing a very religious crowd. Notice in verse 22 that they had their set worship. "Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, 'Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious.'" And so their means of worship, their means of following their God was based on superstition. And I remember years ago, my grandmother, she was very superstitious. She used to make me laugh. And we used to torment her when we were kids, you know. But anyway, she was so superstitious, if the phone rang in her house and you went over and picked it up and gave it to her, and when she got done talking, she would always say, "Michael, hang this phone up for me." She would not hang it back up again. She would not pass anything through the window of the car. The door could be open, but she wouldn't put anything through the window. Just crazy stuff. She used to, when she'd leave your house, because she walked in the house going this way, just before she went out the door, she'd turn around and back out. And you say, "Boy, now I'm trying to fit. Now I'm figuring out what's wrong with you." Amen. She was far too superstitious. It had nothing to do with worshiping God, but superstition. It'll make you do strange things. And Paul's looking at the men at Mars Hill, and he's saying, "I perceive it. You're just too superstitious." Now, thank God that my grandmother got saved. I think she was 91 years old when she got saved. She was recovering from a surgery. She was with my mom and dad. My dad was able to lead her to the Lord. And so praise God for that. And but just strange things that people do sometimes. Strange things that people do when they profess to be worshiping God. And Paul said, "Boy, I just look at what you're doing here, the whole character trait that you have, and you have a set of worship, but it's too superstitious." And then in verse 23, they had their devotions, because it says, "For as I passed by and beheld your devotions," they had, in other words, they had sets of instruction on how to worship God and how to live for their God. And certainly there are people that will be faithful to reading. They may be reading scripture. Now, there's plenty of people that are religious and committed to the religions that they have that are not saved. Years ago, I witnessed this woman. I knocked on the door and I asked her, I said, "Listen, I just want to ask you a question. Are you a Christian?" And she said, "Oh, yes, I'm a Christian." And I said, "Well, amen, that's exciting." I said, "When did you get born again?" And she said this to me. She said, "Oh, no. I'm not a part of that born again stuff." And so here is a woman who perceives in her mind that she's a Christian, but in reality she's not a Christian because she never got born again. And so ignorance of who God is, ignorance when it comes to worshiping God, ignorance within our devotions to God, they had altars. It says in verse 23, Paul says, I found an altar with this inscription. And so they had, the Jews would have their sacrifices and they would have their place of altar to offer up those sacrifices. Well, the heathen at Mars Hill also had their altars to bow down before and to bring sacrifices. And they had their inscriptions. Notice in verse 23, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. And so their ignorance was they had their identifications of worshiping God. They had their places of worship of God. They had their system of devotions to supposedly worship God. And everything was set up. But the reality is they were worshiping God whom they did not know. They had their altar set up to worship the unknown God. In verse 23, the last part of it, Paul is challenging them with the fact that he is there to help them to know who the true living God is. And he says, you had this inscription to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship. And he says this, him declare I unto you. He wants to help them in their ignorance. They have no ability to comprehend who God is because no one has revealed that to them. In the end times, the Apostle Paul would write in 2 Timothy chapter 3 concerning the end days prior to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The character traits of the end days in 2 Timothy 3:7 says that they would be ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. I've never seen in the world that we live in a society consumed with such intellects, such academics, and be so ignorant. I stand amazed. I listen to news reports. I listen to things that people say and how they respond to the situation. I'm like, how in the world can they come to that conclusion? And it's because of the fact they're operating or responding based on ignorance of not knowing the facts and not knowing the truth. And it is a sad thing when we are ignorant of who God is. But the scriptures tells us in the last days that people are going to be departing from the faith and that they are going to be ignorant of who God is. So overcoming ignorance. I want to deal with, first of all, this matter of the ignorance of the knowledge of God. Overcoming the ignorance of the knowledge of God. We've read verse 23 already. I'm not going to read it again. Maybe I will. And Paul says, for I passed by and beheld your devotion, and I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. Ignorance of the knowledge of God. And they're agnostics is what they are. They are not aware of who God is. And here's a definition of an agnostic. They view that the existence or non-existence of any deity is unknown and possibly unknowable. Thus, he does not believe or disbelieve. That makes a lot of sense now, doesn't it? Either something is truth or something isn't truth. Something is reality or something's a false reality. The agnostic comes along and just basically says, well, God cannot be known. Here's these men on Mars Hill, and they're worshiping God, but they're worshiping an unknown God. They're worshiping a God that they can't comprehend who he is, nor do they believe that they can even gain an understanding of who he is. So they're an agnostic. The world lives in that realm of Gnosticism, if you will, that basically says that God's not real, but if you ask them, do you believe in God? Well, I believe in God. What are you talking about? You can't have it both ways. Either you believe or you don't believe. Well, I believe there's a God, but I just don't believe that you can know who he is. And the sad thing is they have taken that concept and in our colleges across America and have embedded that thought process into our children. And that is why so many young people grow up in the church, they leave the church to go to college, and by the time they're done college, they want nothing to do with church because they don't know if God is real and they don't even understand if they can know who God is. They become agnostics, ignorance. You need to overcome ignorance. Well, there's another aspect of Gnosticism, and that an agnostic theist. You can be an agnostic theist. An agnostic theist is one who identifies himself as following a religion for the basis of belief and truth. He believes in God, however, God cannot be known. Now that makes a lot of sense. All right, so I have my religion, I grow up my religion, I might be a Baptist, I might be a Methodist, I might be a Catholic, whatever, but I grow up in my religion, and that's why you can ask somebody in whatever religion they're in and say, well, if you die today, do you know 100% sure you're going to heaven? Well, nobody can know that. Well, wait a minute, you have your religion, so why do you go to that church? Well, you cannot really know that God is real, but I need my religion to give me a false sense of security that I'm going to be okay when it's all said and done, but I really don't believe that God can be known. They are an agnostic theist, and as a result of it, they bring confusion in their own life and confusion in society because they present a God who cannot be known. However, you need to identify with a religion to feel good about yourself. Then there's the agnostic atheist. The agnostic atheist says, God cannot be known, therefore I do not believe in God. Now listen, just because you don't believe in God does not mean that God does not exist. And God is not in existence based on the wisdom of man and the acceptance of man, but rather God is in of himself one who is, I am that I am. And so the atheist comes along and says, well, God cannot be known, so I don't believe in God. And boy, I'll tell you one thing, you can go round and round with them, and the problem is that they are ignorant of the knowledge of God. Paul's dealing here with those on Mars Hill when he get down in verse 32, says that when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked and others said, we will hear thee again on this matter. So Paul departed from among them, howbeit certain men clave unto him and believed. And so when you present the reality of who God is, man is going to respond in different ways. Either they're going to get saved, they're going to believe, they'll be converted, they'll deny it, they'll mock it, they'll ridicule you on the matter, or they'll say, you know what, I want to hear a little bit more about that. And thank God for the ones who want to hear a little bit more. And you can go to them. And so we have to deal with the ignorance of the knowledge of who God is. And whether it's an agnostic or an agnostic theist or an agnostic atheist, the problem is they have their religions, they have their forms of worship, they have their identity, but they are not identifying with the reality of who God is. So there's the ignorance of the knowledge of God. I'm finding that becoming more and more prevalent in our society, our world that we live in. And so ignorance of the knowledge of God. Verse 24 and verse 26, we see there's an ignorance of the creation of God. Notice in verse 24, it says, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Then down in verse 26, he says, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. And so God is the one who has created all things. And if God has created all things, If you do not approach comprehending what the world is in which we live, on the basis of the knowledge that God is the creator of everything, then you're going to always come up with the wrong comprehension of the world in which we live. Whether it be global warming or, you know, the world was getting colder, now we're getting hotter, who knows what it's going to be. Now, was it Gates wants to make the darken the sun so to cool off the earth? And all, I mean, just, you talk about foolishness. I mean, foolishness. And people, educated people, listen to that type of stuff. What is wrong? What is wrong is they're ignorant of the creation of God. It is God who created this world. And if God created this world, then he's going to take care of everything that is necessary in this world. So the magnitude of creation, that God made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth. And so the magnitude of heaven, notice over in Romans chapter 1, verse 19 and 20. Let's just look at a couple other verses. Romans chapter 1, verse 19 and 20. And the world got themselves in trouble when they lost their understanding God is the creator of everything. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 19, it says, because that which may be known of God, notice what it says, that which may be known of God, is manifested in them, for God has showed it unto them, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. And so if you're ignorant of the creation that God created everything, that is impossible for you to gain a comprehension of who you are. The magnitude of creation is that everything that can be known of God is seen in the creation that he has created. Why? Because the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. And so the magnitude of creation, notice in verse 24 of Romans chapter 1, it says, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Why did he do that? Because when they knew God, according to verse 21, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful. So ignorance of the creation that God has created it blocks you from being able to comprehend everything that God is and everything that you are that he's created you to be. And so you can't comprehend it. So what happens? God gives them over to a reprobate mind. Then in verse 28 says that even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. Now listen, years ago, back in the early 60s, when they took Bible reading and prayer and everything else out of the schools, why? They did not want to retain God in their knowledge. You remove the reality of who God is in our society in which we live. Man is given over to his own thoughts, his own desires, his own fleshly sins. And as a result of it, he defiles himself to the point of destroying himself. Why? Because it's an ignorance of the creation, the magnitude of the creation that is around us. So God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. What is the problem? There is an ignorance of the creation of God, that everything is created by God, and if everything's created by God, then everything is accountable to God. If you're created in the image of God, you are directly accountable to God. And so when you refuse to acknowledge God's role and God's authority over you as your creator, what happens is, I just read the whole list of things of social evils that develop in our society. The streets in America are being burned down. The relationships of families is being torn apart. Racial inequalities and racial anger towards one another is growing and flourishing and is out of control. And it is because of the fact we are ignorant of who God is. Because we are all one in Christ. And God has created all things, and the magnitude of creation is I cannot comprehend what tomorrow holds without acknowledging that God is the one who is in control of tomorrow. So ignorance of creation. Method of worship. And literally back in chapter 17 of Acts, he deals with them, their false worship, that they were how they were worshiping. In Amos chapter 5 and verse 21, let me just read you a couple of verses here. Amos 5, 1, 21 says, I hate, I despise your feast days. I will not smell in your solemn assemblies. Though ye offer me burnt offerings and your meat offerings, I will not accept them. Neither will I regard the peace offerings of your fat beasts. Take thou away from me the noise of thy songs, for I will not hear the melody of thy viols. But let judgment run down as waters and righteousness as a mighty stream. Have ye offered unto me sacrifices and offerings in the wilderness 40 years, O house of Israel? But ye have borne the tabernacle of your Moloch and your Chinnom, your images, the star of your God, which ye made to yourselves. Therefore will I cause you to go into captivity beyond Damascus, saith the Lord, whose name is the God of hosts. See, when there is an ignorance of the creation that God has created, we do not acknowledge God's will and God's plan and God's power over everything that we are and everything that we can be. And because of it, we develop a method of worship that satisfies the flesh rather than speaks to the spirit. And Amos condemns Israel's worship, just as the Apostle Paul is condemning the worship of those on Mars Hill. So there's a magnitude. We need to understand the magnitude of creation, understand the method of worship that is identifying with who God is, and then the molding of the nations. Notice in Acts chapter 17 and verse 25, says, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. And then in verse 26, and hath made one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth. It would be well for people to read that verse, memorize that verse, and remind themselves of that verse. And hath made of one blood. I don't care what nation you're from. I don't care what color your skin is. God has made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth. And hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. And so the molding of nations, it is God who created this world and is God who established nations, and he is the one that established the bloodline. As there is one blood for all peoples on the face of this earth, there is one blood shed by Jesus Christ that redeems all people on this earth. So ignorance of the knowledge of God, then there's the ignorance of the creation of God. Then our chapter at Acts 17, there's the ignorance of the character of God. Notice in verse 27, the closeness of God. It says that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us, the closeness of God. So listen, God is as close to you as you allow him to be. So people say, well, I feel God's far from me. He hasn't changed his position. If you feel God is far from you, it's because of the fact that you've changed your position. And Paul's reminding them, you're worshiping this unknown God. You have your superstitions and you have your means of worship. And you have all these, this concept, this idea that God can't be known because God is far away from us. Wait a minute. God is next to us. He's right there. He's close. I see the closeness of God. I see the children of God in verse 28. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your poets, having said, for we are also his offspring. I'm thankful that anyone who receives Christ as their Savior is a child of God. I'm thankful of John 11:25. I am the resurrection and life. He that believeth in me, though you're dead, yet shall he live. And so there's this acknowledging that we are all the children of God as we put our faith in Jesus Christ. We are all the creation of God by divine creation. We are the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. And so we find the children of God. Then we see the consecration of God in verse 29. It says, for as much then as we are all the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold and silver and stone graven by art and man's device. The consecration of God. That's why in the Ten Commandments, God said, thou shalt have no graven image. I remember my years ago, we had a picture of Jesus in hanging up in our house. And we were witnessing to our family. And one of our family members said, well, they went to the Catholic Church years ago. And praise God, they got saved since then. But anyway, they said this. They said, well, you know, we go to church and the statues in our church is no different than the picture you have of Jesus on your wall. Because we don't bow down and worship those statues just like you have it up there. My wife and I did. We took the picture down. Because I'm not going to be a stumbling block to somebody. And, you know, that picture that you may hang up as a picture of Jesus Christ is some artist's interpretation of what they think Jesus looked like. It is not the actual picture of Jesus Christ. And we have to be careful that we don't forget the consecration of God. Our God is holy. And he is a jealous God, and he will not share his glory with another. Ignorance of the character of God. Then I see, finally, in verse 30 through 34, the ignorance of the justice of God. Notice in verse 30, mercy requires repentance. In verse 30, it says, and the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. And so mercy requires repentance. You go through the book of Acts as the early church and the early preaching that went on in presenting Christ, and go through and do a study. We don't have the time to do that tonight, but go through and do a study and look how many times repent or repentance or repented is used in the book of Acts. The message was that they needed to repent because the kingdom of heaven was at hand. They needed to get right with God, and God's mercy is extended to us, but God's mercy requires repentance. God's mercy doesn't say, well, listen, I won't give you what you deserve. You deserve to go to hell, but by the way, because my mercy is extended to you, you can live however you please. You don't find that in the Bible at all. Nowhere do you find that in the scriptures. But you do find that we're repentant. Comes into a person's life, it changes everything about them. That's why if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Why? Because of repentance. So there's an ignorance of the justice of God. So mercy requires repentance. Justice depends on a representative, and that's Jesus Christ. Amen. Notice in verse 31, it says, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness, and here it is, by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he has raised him from the dead. We can be assured of the fact that God is just in all of his dealings, and the justice of God depends upon the one who represents the holy justice of God, and that is Jesus Christ. When he died on the cross, he died under the judgment of God. He died on the cross because of our sin being laid on him. And because he took all of our sin on him, he satisfied the justice of eternal judge of all this earth. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And the answer is directly, yes, he will. And so justice depends on the one who represents us, and that's Christ. And then I see in verse 32 through 34 that truth generates a response. Notice in verse 32, it says, when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. That's immediate response. And when man is ignorant of the justice of God, is that they refuse to respond, or they refuse to acknowledge that they're responding to what has been revealed to them. They mock. Some mock. Others said, we will hear thee again on this matter. And so Paul departed among them. Howbeit, certain men clave unto him and believed. And so truth always generates a response. And it is such a sad state of affairs that our country, our nation, our world in which we live, New Jersey, United States of America, the world in which we live is being guided and directed by heresy and by lies that are just being repeated over and over again to convince people to be and to do what those in power desire for you to be. And the sad thing is, as they say, you say a lie long enough and it becomes truth. And I'm thinking about preaching a message. I did this years ago, but I think I'm going to preach a message on redefining terms. Because everything in our society is being justified in the wrongdoing that is being done because you just redefine what it means. And if you redefine what it means, now it's okay to do it. No, it doesn't. It's unjust. It's unholy. It's not right. And so we need to turn to the truth. And Paul is confronting them. They were satisfied with the unknown God. They were comfortable in their ignorance. But Paul says, no, wait a minute, man, I need to present to you the true and living God, and I need to remind you that this one in whom is appointed to judge this world is Jesus Christ, and he died and he rose from the grave. Whoa, wait a minute. We don't want to talk about this resurrection. We don't want to talk about he's alive. So what do they want to talk about? Oh, we believe that he died, yes. You couldn't deny the reality of who he is, but he didn't rise. His disciples stole his body out of the grave. So instead of accepting truth, they adapt to a lie and say it long enough, considering that people begin to believe that lie. And as a result of it, it developed an ignorance of understanding of the justice of God. And we're living in a world now that where people are ignorant of the justice of God. The only answer is truth. And it does, listen, it does not matter what society becomes. It does not matter if you're declared a hateful person, a racist person, or charged with having a hate crime because you declare what the truth is. This is truth. And everything else in our society, if it is in contradiction to what this says, this is right. Amen. And everything in our society that's contrary to the Bible is wrong. Amen. And I don't care what realm of life it addresses. it's wrong. The sad thing is man is always satisfied in his flesh to live in ignorance. Now, I don't want to be ignorant. I want to know what God has said. I want to overcome it. And so ignorance of the knowledge of God, ignorance of the creation of God, ignorance of the character of God, and ignorance of the justice of God. I'm glad that Paul was willing to present to them the truth of who Jesus Christ is. Now, folks, that's the answer. We need to present to people the truth of Jesus Christ because he's the answer to their problems. He's the answer to their sin. He's the answer to all the social ills that's going on in our society is Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for allowing us to read this great passage. What a challenge Paul had to stand up before all these religious people who were worshiping a God that they didn't know. I'm thankful for his sincerity. I'm thankful for his willingness, Lord, to be honest. I'm thankful, Lord, that he was direct in speaking to reference who Christ is and who they were and what they needed to do to get right with this God who is alive. And so help us, Lord, to take these truths and share them with others. Help us to be able to communicate in a clear way just exactly who you are. And may we be able to see our world turn to you rather than run away from you, God. And we love you and we appreciate your power and your grace that is extended to us. And so bless us now in this invitation. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.